Monday, January 26th, from Hollywood, California, Bromo Seltzer brings you Vox Pop, the voice of the people, conducted by Parks Johnson and Wally Butterworth. We're broadcasting, ladies and gentlemen, direct from Stage 5 at Columbia Pictures Studio in Hollywood, where director Richard Wallace is filming a new John Bennett, Franco Tone co-starring picture, Highly Irregular, for producer P.P. Silver. Well, a big crowd has gathered for an informal party on the set, and we have a grand lineup of celebrities for you to meet. John Bennett, Fran Chotone, Claire Trevor, Jane Withers, Jack Holt, and Alan Jocelyn. Okay, lights, camera, action, is everybody ready?
Yeah!
All right, Parks and Wally, come on in.
Okay, Wally, you busy getting your first interview out there, old boy, huh?
All set, Parks.
Aren't we going to have a swell time tonight?
Well, we certainly should.
All right, and folks, I wonder if you would recognize our first Vox Popper by this description. He has been a sand hog, a government mail carrier, an Alaskan prospector, a fur trapper, an Oregon cowpuncher. He was the first of the strong, silent he-men of the movies, and he holds the unequal record of 25 consecutive years as a star in pictures. Do you know him? He is the elusive, enigmatic, but universally liked Jack Holt. Come on over, Jack. Hey, how are you? Hi, Jack.
Come on.
Jack, I've something I want to know. Did you get that erect posture from VMI or riding horses?
VMI.
VMI back in the old days. Well, we hope someday to do a Vox Pop program from down there.
Well, you'll like it. It's a great school.
I know I will. I've been through there. Say, you mind if I check your memory a little bit? For instance, what was your first picture that you made and then your latest?
Oh, now see. Salome Jane.
How long ago was that?
About 27 years ago,
27.
I think.
That's a long time ago. And now your latest.
Holt of the Secret Service.
Ah, Holt of the Secret Service. Did you see him straighten up when he said that?
Don't let me frighten you.
Jack, is that out yet?
I think so, yes.
Is it a serial? I understand it is.
Yes, 15 episodes.
How do you enjoy playing these romantic and adventurous roles as against the old days when you were strong man, two-gun sort of a fellow?
Well, they're all about the same.
They are, huh?
Yeah, if you have a good story, well, that's all you need.
That's right. You got a good story, and I might add a good actor. You need that, too.
Thank you,
Jack.
Mr.
Oh, yes. Shake hands again. We're still friends, aren't we? Jack, your son and daughter, Tim and Jennifer, I understand, are also in the movie. Is that right?
Yeah, the whole family's in it now.
Well, now, of the family, which is the better actor, best actor, would you say, Jack?
Well, I'll let you be the judge of that.
Well?
When my son graduated from school, a friend of mine said, what do you want to be, Tim, when you grow up? He said, an actor. He turned to me and said, let him. Let's have one in the family.
Very cute. Jack, what would you say has been your biggest extravagance?
Horses.
Horses. Well, brother, horses must be your hobby, and we really would have been in a spot if you hadn't given that answer. Because, you see, Jack, we thought you'd sort of like to have a sturdy little hobby horse here to play around with. You know? After all, you know, your tires are not going to last forever.
This horse doesn't eat, does he?
No, sir, that horse doesn't eat. Do you mind a few right down-to-earth questions, Jack?
Not a bit, sure.
All right, did you ever try to break any bad habits?
No, I kind of like my bad habits.
Oh, you do? Well, they're not so bad, then, at that. Did you ever, Jack, actually take any advice? I know a lot of it has been thrown at you.
Oh, plenty.
Oh, you have, huh?
Yes,
well, with
sir.
What results?
Disastrous.
Oh. Doesn't work, huh? What's your best parlor trick, Jack?
Keep my mouth shut.
Well, now, I don't know but what that's very smart, because the other fellow always likes to have an audience, doesn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, let him sound off. He'll get in trouble.
Have you got any good air raid sirens out here in Hollywood?
We have the best.
The best?
Yes, sir.
For instance,
we have Joey Brown on one mountain and Johnny Weissmuller on the other, and we don't need anything in between.
Boy, I reckon you're right about that. Well, Jack, we've enjoyed having you up here. Thanks a lot. And Bromo Seltzer has two gifts for you. First, an alligator skin-covered game set is filled with all sorts of games. Look at that. Backgammon, roulette, poker. You could play a little of that. And the other one, Jack, is this compact, long-range, portable radio.
Well, Parks.
Yes.
We all got together before the program and decided we'd share our gifts with men in service.
Oh, that's
and
so.
I want you to send this portable radio to R. Coxon, C-R-O-X-E-N.
Yeah?
Electrician mate, first class, U.S. Navy, Treasure Island, San Francisco.
And Jack... know he's going to enjoy getting it. Now, before our next star comes in, here's Bill Bivens with a truly important message.
Friends, the next time you're suffering from a headache, take Bromo-Seltzer and see what swift, effective relief you get. Relief such as you may never have experienced before. Well, now the reason we make this startling statement is simply this. Bromo-Seltzer acts three ways at the same time. Now listen. First, Bromo-Seltzer quickly relieves the pain of the headache itself. And second, it helps calm nerves. Third, it helps settle upset stomach. And it's because Bromo-Seltzer acts on head, nerves, and stomach at the same time that you get such effective relief. Why you so quickly feel more fit, more like your old self again. So the next time you have a headache, take Bromo-Seltzer and see if you don't agree with millions of others that there's nothing better than Bromo-Seltzer for speedy, effective relief. Okay, Wally, who's next from Hollywood?
Well, Bill, you'll be surprised. You remember the beautiful blonde pioneer heroine of the picture Texas? She was Miss Claire Trevor, who in a few short years has proven herself to be one of Hollywood's most talented dramatic actresses. Having just completed for Columbia Pictures Jack London's story of the adventures of Martin Eden, she's gracing Vox Pop tonight to tell you the part that she and other film celebrities are playing in Civilian Defense. Come on in, Miss Claire Trevor. And say hello to all your friends on the air.
Hello, everybody.
Miss Trevor, I know that many of your wildest dreams have been realized in films. Tell me your greatest unfulfilled desire up to now.
What is that cackling I hear? Well, I think I'd almost faint with joy if I ever got an Oscar. That'll probably never happen.
Well, I shouldn't be surprised someday that you might win one, and I surely hope so. They tell me here at the studio that you have several pet names. They're cute nicknames that they call you around here. Would you care or even dare to tell us a few of them?
Well, I don't dare. How far will this go? Will people be bothering me from now on?
No, indeed.
Well, there's one called Jughead, which is very complimentary.
Oh, yes. what do you mean?
Fish face.
Anybody Elmer. Called you fish face is crazy. Elmer.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Well, now, I tell you, we sort of anticipated that, and as a little reward for you, will you bring out these three items? There's a little jug, and there's a little fish, and there's a record of Elmer's cue.
Oh, sorry. It's really very sweet. This I can take home for dinner.
What are you doing in defense work, Miss Trevor?
Well, so far I haven't been doing anything very steadily, but I've been visiting the camps and all the searchlight camps around Los Angeles and having a few boys for dinner and so forth.
You mean you have them over the weekend?
No, just come in for the day, you know, and...
I see.
Oh, there was one awfully cute little boy who came, and he spent most of his time in the kitchen looking around my stove and icebox and everything, and I found out that he was the cook for his battery. And he was bragging continuously about how good a cook he was.
Yes.
And so I said, well, I want a sample. So the next weekend, he came down with a pie with my name on it.
Good night.
That's sweet.
Not bad at all. Do you have a blackout in your home?
Yes. Oh, you mean a blackout room?
Yes.
Uh-huh. It's red, white, and blue, though.
It really is?
Yes, it really is.
How come that?
Well, it's an upstairs sitting room, and I always wanted a red, white, and blue room, and...
You defy those Japs to drop anything on red, white, and blue.
Right.
That's the idea.
Yes.
Good for you. What is your pet diversion when you're away from the studio?
Well, I do a lot of things. Tennis, and never go anywhere without a book of poetry. I read a lot of poetry.
Is that it there?
Yes.
What do you got covered up there?
Well,
come on, let's have it. Will you read us one?
This happens to be Dorothy Parker's book.
Really?
And, yeah.
Huh,
you really want me to read one?
Awful pretty in your best stage voice.
All right.
Come on.
This one is called Theory. Into love and out again, thus I went and thus I go. Spare your voice and hold your pen. Well and bitterly, I know, all the songs were ever sung, all the words were ever said. Could it be when I was young, someone dropped me on my head?
Oh, very good. That's strictly Dorothy Parker. What particular personal criticism has anyone ever made about you that you distinctly remember?
You mean,
artistically
newspaper
or...
men?
Well, yes, anybody.
Well, I remember one very cruel sort of interview in which they said that Claire Trevor was very good, but she was sort of a roadshow version of Ginger Rogers.
I don't think I'd like that myself.
Well, I like Ginger so much. It was a compliment.
Have you any bad habits?
Oh, lots of them.
Maybe I...
Mm-hmm. One I got rid of.
What?
For biting my nails.
Good night. They don't look like bitten nails now.
No.
But, huh? How'd you do it?
Oh, crocheted and wore gloves a lot of the time.
Just like when you were in the cradle.
That's
little
right.
Little baby, huh? I see. Now, there was an air raid alert over the coast this morning. Do you think Hollywood will be bombed?
Well, I don't think anybody can say what will or will not happen, but I wouldn't be surprised if, no matter what happened. I mean...
You don't believe in taking chances?
This war has been sort of a nightmare all along, and I don't think anyone should think that it can't happen here.
Who has been your most romantic lover so far on the screen?
Oh, you're really putting me in a spot. John Wayne in Stagecoach, I think, and Glenn Ford wasn't bad.
And how he was.
Well, thank you very much, Miss Trevor, for the interview, and Bromos also wishes you to have with its compliments for yourself this lovely pair of hurricane lamps.
Oh, how lovely. Thanks.
And to what soldier are you going to give that wonderful portable typewriter he might be able to use?
To Mr. Andrew Hosworth, machinist, first class, Coast Guard Station, Seattle, Washington.
Good, and thank you very much.
The stars of the Columbia picture, Highly Irregular, are all with us except French O'Tone. He's now propped up in the living room of his home miles away in Beverly Hills, and we hope that he'll be out in a day or two. But that didn't stop us. We've had the phone company out there all day installing lines. You see, we couldn't miss having French O'Tone with us tonight. So from his living room, folks, Mr. French O'Tone. How are you, Mr. Tone?
Hello, I'm much better, thanks.
Much better, and you will be out... Huh?
I certainly will be out in a day or two.
Well, now, Francho, if it's not Highly Irregular, tell me, what is the picture all about?
Well, in it I play an American flyer with the RAF, and I'm grounded in Holland. Joan Bennett is a beautiful, naturally, girl who undertakes to hide me, and, well, we run into quite a number of comical situations.
Good, lots of laughs in the picture. Well, I suppose, of course, that the dashing young American flyer learns to like the beautiful little Dutch girl.
Would any young American flyer dash after Joan Bennett in Holland or anywhere else?
You bet your life they would. Say, you had a rival in the picture, didn't you?
Yes, of course.
Who was it?
Alan Jocelyn, playing a part of the German major, Major Zelfritz. He gives me quite a run in the picture. Really very exciting and very amusing.
Well, you may be sure that I won't miss it, and I know a lot of others won't. I doubt if anybody who hears this tonight will. And by the way, Francho, if you don't mind, did you have a nickname as a boy?
Well, they called me practically everything.
But among?
Mostly they called me Tony or similar names.
Well, Tony, I can understand that. And by the way, Tone, your last name, that indicates you can sing, doesn't it?
I can't hear you.
I say that indicates you can sing, huh?
Well, I may be tone deaf, you can't tell. I might as well pun too, huh?
Yeah, you might as well.
Well, anyway, I sing when I'm happy.
Well, then I know you sing a lot before that. I know Mrs. Tone, the former Jean Wallace, is a very lovely lady.
Park, she beggars description.
Yes, sir. You won't even start that for us, will you? Well, Francho, about the war, what is the Hollywood movie colony doing about it?
Well, the movies are doing a great deal. For one thing, over 1,000 men for the movies are in uniform.
1,000? Let's see. There's Jimmy Stewart, and there's George O'Brien. And...
Yes, and Wayne Morris, Gene Markey, John Ford, Bob Montgomery, Tony Martin, Doug Fairbanks Jr. They're stars, the cameramen, bit players, directors. All of them are represented.
Man, that's great. But will there be enough of you left to sort of keep the pictures rolling out?
Oh, I guess so. You see, the movies, the radio, and baseball, and... all that entertainment must go on. They play an important part in the life of a nation at war.
They do at that, Francho. Now, how about you individually? Are you keeping pretty busy on...
Well, I expect to be active in several defense organizations, but right now I'm getting more and more interested in the civilian defense organization in Beverly... Benedict Canyon District, right here where I live.
That's...
Canyon.
So
way out there in the edge
it's
of Beverly
back
Hills.
Of Beverly Hills. All these canyons that run up into the mountains back at Beverly Hills are apt to be more or less isolated from the event of disaster out here.
You're learning what to do with incendiary bombs and patrol work and all like that?
We're learning how to take care of ourselves, yes.
Every person should learn something of benefit, don't you think, at this
point? It certainly is going to help if they do.
Yeah. Say, Francho, this one is sort of personal. But do you mail your check for the rent to the landlady, or does she come around in person to get it?
Well, I mail it, but I certainly wouldn't object to having her call.
No? Why is that?
Well, my landlady's Hetty Lamarr.
Oh, boy. Say, have you got any vacancies out there in the neighborhood? Well, Francho Tone, you were good to let us come into your home for this little chat. And as a little souvenir of the program, we're sending out to you a little leather traveling clock, barometer, and calendar combined.
Well, without seeing it, I want to thank you.
Well, we'll send it out, and we have a swell watch for some soldier or sailor or marine whom you'll designate. Who do you want us to send to, Francho?
I wish you'd send it to Private Lawrence A. Burke, United States Army, Fort Williams, Portland, Maine.
I know Private Burke will be glad to get it from Francho Tone. Thank you very much. We've enjoyed having you, and good night, Francho Tone.
Okay, Wally.
To enumerate the screen roles that have endeared Joan Bennett to the world would consume our entire half hour. Her talents, beauty, and intelligence are further enhanced in her newest picture in the making, Heidi Irregular. She not only has stepped forward in defense and charity work since the outbreak of the war in Europe, but as a leader of other women in her profession. Miss Joan Bennett, won't you come up, please, and be welcome to Vox Pop. Just say hello first to your millions of friends all over the world. Now, first of all, what particular fun have you had in the making of this picture, Highly Irregular?
Well, I think that's a highly irregular question, but I think, up to date, the most fun was sneezing what seemed like 158 times for director Richard Wallace to get the proper sneeze.
Oh, 158 times?
Mm-hmm. Seemed like it.
I saw a few of them the other day. Would you give us a sample of that sneeze?
Okay.
Boy, that's a very noble sneeze indeed. The studio tells us that you have a couple of pet hobbies, Miss Bennett. What are they?
Oh, is this Hobby Lobby or Hobby Lobby?
Well, we go in for hobbies, too, particularly the screen stuff.
Well, I have several, but my two favorites are... One's gardening, and the other is collecting cookbooks and clipping recipes from all over the world. And I'm mighty fine at fried chicken, incidentally.
Pretty good cook.
Uh-huh.
Bill, will you come here a minute, please? Would you mind holding this little paper, sort of a blindfold over Miss Bennett's eyes?
I can see it.
Oh, you can? Okay. We're going to find out a few things. Now, of course, this flower was literally stolen from your garden, Miss Bennett. I want you to smell it and tell us what kind of flower it is.
Well, that's a cinch. Gardenia.
You're absolutely right. Bill, fetch out that other flower. This did not come out of your garden, but tell us what it is.
Can't smell a thing.
Take another smell.
No, nothing.
Uh-huh, that's right. It doesn't have any odor. I was trying to fool you. It's a beautiful orchid. But have it with the compliments of Vox Pop, Miss Bennett.
Oh, thank you. How can I take this down?
No, not yet. We'll pin it on you in just a moment. Now we're going to find out your fine gardener about the cooking. This came out of a kitchen. Would you smell it and tell us what it is?
That didn't come out of my kitchen. It smells like Limburger cheese.
Well, that's exactly what it is. It's Limburger cheese.
Do I get that, too?
Yes, you may have. Now, this came off the stove of a kitchen. Take a smell of that, Miss Bennett. What is it?
Oh, a specialty.
What?
Fried chicken.
That's absolutely right. It's fried chicken. And along those lines, will you bring out that crate of 10 lovely fryers with a lovely rooster? Now you can pull the blindfold off. There for you, Miss Bennett. That's going to take care of your cooking for a while.
Thank you.
Now, if we may get serious for just a moment, tell us what you've done in defense work.
Well, when the war first broke out in Europe,
yes,
I did knitting for Bundles for Britain and the American Red Cross, and had everybody on the set doing it with me and all the maids at home. So we turned in a lot of things. Still doing the knitting, but I've also joined up with the American Women's Voluntary Service, and I expect to devote most of my time to that.
Swell. That's a wonderful work indeed.
There's a scarcity of silk, as you know, right now, Miss Bennett. I don't wish to be too personal, but would you prefer going bare-legged or wearing cotton stockings?
Oh, cotton stockings. If I went bare-legged, I'd freeze to death. There are many very attractive cotton stockings. Now, they're very sheer and very thin. They have mesh stockings and cotton that are almost... Have
very
a
smart.
Of silk. Yes, very smart.
How do you go about fixing a run in your stocking? I'd like to know.
Well, there are three ways, two of which I'll mention.
What's that?
One is soap and the other's nail polish.
Yes?
You really want the third? I can put it in an attractive way. I wet my finger and put it on the...
Well, that's good. Miss Bennett, we want to thank you 1,000 times for your courtesy in coming up. I know it's going to be an inspiration to do war work for many of your admirers throughout the world. And Bromo-Seltzer wants you to have, as your own gift, this lovely sterling silver cigarette case and compact for yourself.
Lovely.
And to whom do you wish to give this fine portable radio? It must be some soldier somewhere who would love to have it. Read his name.
To Private Henry A. Roth, U.S. Marines, Paris Island, South Carolina.
Thank you very much. Okay, we'll send the chickens, don't worry.
Now, before our next interview, I want all of you folks to hear a letter from Frank Dalton of Bridgeport, Connecticut. He writes...
My job as manager of a chain grocery store means being a salesman, a bookkeeper, and a general overseer all at the same time. You can imagine how rushed we were on this Saturday before Christmas, with customers stocking up for the holidays and all. Well, that night we were supposed to stay open till 9, but along about 5 or 6, I began to feel headachy and nervous. I was all unstrung. I couldn't seem to think clearly, and I was even being hasty with some of my regular customers. I thought I'd have to go home, but one of the clerks ran down to the drugstore and brought me back a bottle of Bromo Seltzer. After taking a dose of Bromo Seltzer, I felt like a new man and was able to stay on till closing. You can bet that there is always a bottle of Bromo Seltzer in the store now.
Thank you, Frank Dalton. And say, why not take a tip from Mr. Dalton's experience? Keep a bottle of Bromo Seltzer at your place of business. Keep one at home, too. Then, whenever you get a headache, you know you have quick, effective relief at hand.
And that's right, friends. Of course, if you have persistent or recurring headaches, we suggest that you see a physician. But for those occasional splitting headaches most of us get now and then, do as Wally suggests. Take a Bromo Seltzer. Remember, only Bromo Seltzer can give you Bromo Seltzer results. All right, Parks, who's next from Hollywood?
Bill Bivens. Who's next? Well, she started in pictures as a little girl of 6. That was almost 10 years ago. Today, she's a tall, vivacious young lady, almost 16 years of age. Way back, she played the brat part, you know. Well, today, she's a charming young star of her own pictures. But let's chat with her in person. Come on out, Jane Withers. Hello, Jane. Say, Jane, right off the start, tell me, when will you be 16?
Next April the 12th, and I can hardly wait.
Oh, boy, you really sound like you mean that. Have you had any dates yet?
Oh, you bet I have. In fact, I have a date with Mr. Rudy Valley.
Yes?
Yes.
When?
February the 12th. I'm going to be on his radio program, and I can hardly wait for that, too.
Oh, boy, well, I'll be listening to you that night. I hope Rudy's listening to you tonight so that he'll get a load of how much fun he's going to have when he has you with him.
Uh-oh.
But now, seriously, tell me about this date business. Have you had any dates? Going out in the evening with young men?
Oh, sure, but they've all been chaperoned.
Oh, they have? Well, now, how about after April the 12th when you're 16?
Oh, well, after April the 12th. Mom says I may go out alone.
Have you got a date yet?
You bet I have, but the funny part about it is my first date was going to be with Jack Searle. I promised him 2 years ago, but he's in the Army now. That's why.
Well, he has a lot of... Wait, have you got some standing in line? Or do you think
yes,
you can
there are four, but, you know, we're right after Jack. But...
Oh, you got them ready and waiting,
yes,
huh?
But then two more of those fellas were just called the other day, so I'm still hoping for the fourth one.
Well, don't worry. I'm quite sure that you'll find him all right. They'll be standing around. Say, Jane, I notice that you are wearing two of those little gold chain anklets. Why two of them?
Well, now, that's a long story.
Can you shorten it up and give me the gist of it?
Well, I'll try. You see, this Christmas, Freddie Bartholomew and Buddy Pepper both gave me these two anklets. This is Freddie and this is Buddy.
Uh-huh.
And so, to keep my promise...
Which is Freddie?
Oh, the one on the right.
I see. Go ahead.
And anyway, so I promised them so they wouldn't get mad at one another, you know, and get me in Dutch, too. I promised I'd wear them both, so there they are.
Well, Jane, I think it would be a sort of good idea if you'd sort of turn the tables on the boys. Now, how do you know they're standing hitched? I see you here. You have the anklets on.
Yeah.
Say, Bill, will you bring out those handcuffs? We can use one for Buddy and one for...
Oh,
Freddie.
My.
Now,
Now, look, you put this on Freddy's ankles, and you put this on Buddy's ankles, and tell them to wear them in memory of you, don't you know? You think, you can hang on to them like that?
Oh, that's super.
Jane, you've got on a beautiful... That's what?
Super.
Oh, yeah, all right. I didn't catch that. I didn't want to be sure. You've got on a beautiful uniform here. It's the American Women's Volunteer Services, isn't
That's
it?
That's absolutely correct, and I'm very, very proud of this uniform. I had to work 25 hours to get it, too.
Well, believe me, I know that you folks do have to work to get your uniforms. What do you folks do? You're in the chairman of the junior, aren't you?
Yes,
junior?
I'm chairman of the junior division.
Uh-huh.
And, we have a lot to do. We're in the chuck wagon division. That means that the night before the senior division goes around and serves coffee and donuts to all the fellas. I know all these fellas know about that on
guard
duty.
Yeah, do you,
boys? And then the next day, the junior division goes around and picks up the jugs, the thermos jugs, and what's left of the cookies and the cookie cans, and we wash all the dishes.
In other words, they keep you pretty busy on that, huh?
Oh, they certainly do.
Say, Jane, what's your last picture? What's the picture you just made? Young...
Young America.
Young America. Is that about war business or anything?
No, that's about the nationwide organization of the 4-H clubs. And, oh, we had a lot of fun working in that. It was all about animals and pets and farm animals. And, oh, gee, we had a wonderful time.
Yeah, I bet you did. You sound like you'd have a wonderful time anyway. Tell me, you're from Georgia originally.
Oh, you bet I am. I'm way down south.
All right, slip down in that best Georgia accent and tell me which of your studies you like most.
Well, I do declare, Mr. Johnson, it's so very difficult for me to decide, but I do believe that I like French and Spanish and history and physiology best of all.
You do pretty good, but when you go back there, I think you can brush up on a little of that stuff. It's that.
Yeah, but listen, here, I've been out in California for 10 years.
That's right. Well, now, Jane, let me see. What, you said you had a question you want to ask me as you were teaming up there.
Yes.
You got one ready for me?
Well, talking about my schoolwork, this morning I'm taking my final exams now, and one of my questions was to spell General Chiang Kai-shek's name, and I was wondering if you could do it.
Not without a newspaper. No, ma'am, I won't
Fine
even try.
Thing.
Well, Jane Withers, we're going to see you soon in your picture, Young America. We're very happy that you came up here with us tonight, but before you go... Here's a beautiful little novelty combination bracelet and watch. It's sort of a...
Oh, how wonderful.
You know, it'll run, too. It's a good one.
Gee,
and what man in what camp in the Navy Yard or somewhere else would you like to send this... what have we got? A portable typewriter.
I know you'd like to have it.
Who's it go to?
I'd like to send mine to James L. Pittman, machinist mate, second class, U.S. Naval Air Station in Corpus Christi, Texas.
I know he'll enjoy it. Thank you very
Thank
much,
you.
Jane.
I want to
say
you're one of the finest Southern gentlemen I've ever had the pleasure of meeting.
Well, Jane...
As the star of Arsenic and Old Lace and Boy Meets Girl, that brought Alan Jocelyn to Hollywood. His fine work in Bedtime Story has just been released and has earned him the role with Fran Chotone and John Bennett in Highly Irregular. Say hello, Alan. You're just the same old fella.
Hello, Wally. Very nice to see you again.
I understand there's been a new arrival in your family, Alan, since boy married girl. Is it boy or girl, and how old?
It's a girl, Wally, and she's 6 weeks old, and she's perfectly beautiful. The doctor says she's the most beautiful girl he ever saw. The nurses say she's the most beautiful girl.
Have you got a picture of her?
No, I haven't any picture. I only have Sundays as my only days to take pictures because I'm working so hard, and they haven't come out for some reason or other, but I developed them. There's nothing on the film.
Well, what do you use as a darkroom?
A dark room? Do you have to have a dark room?
Alan, what do you do for your pastime out here in California?
Oh, I play golf, swim, catch fish, go fishing, go marlin fishing.
Yeah? Are we, well, I understand that you have caught a 130-pound marlin.
195 pounds.
195. Well, we brought you a 130-pound baby marlin in the nature of sardines. Alan, I'm sorry. Our time is all
right.
Have to say good night.
Good night, Wally.
Thank you very much. Here is your camera for you, and to whom would you like to give that fine wristwatch, Alan?
I'd like to send that to Pal E. Beams, Private First Class, U.S. Army Air Corps, Wright Field, Dayton, Ohio.
Thank you very much.
There you go. Folks, don't forget now, next time you have a headache, try Bromo Seltzer. Use it only as directed on the label. We believe the very first trial will do more to convince you of Bromo Seltzer's effective relief than anything that Parks or Wally or I can tell you. You can see for yourself what Bromo Seltzer's three-way action does for you. So next time you're miserable because of a headache, take a drink of Bromo Seltzer at the drug fountain or get a small trial bottle for home use. We're sure that you'll say with millions of others that there's nothing better than Bromo Seltzer for speedy, effective relief from headache.
Folks, we're sorry that Pat O'Brien and Brian Dunleavy couldn't be with us tonight, but he's at the president's birthday ball, and, of course, you, as we are happy to excuse him. And don't forget, next week at a great big aircraft factory out here, I know you'll enjoy it.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
College graduates under 30. The United States Coast Guard is now operating an intensive training school that will graduate you as a commissioned officer in 3 months. Apply at the Coast Guard recruiting station at 1 State Street, New York City. WABC, New York.